Luke chapter 17. We might read from verse 26. Verse 26, "And as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage, until the day that Noah entered into the ark, and the flood came and destroyed them all. Likewise also, as it was in the days of Lot, they did eat, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they builded. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Remember Lot's wife." And especially these words, "remember Lot's wife." Remember. What a repetitive word that is in the scriptures of God. Remember. A lot of our sinfulness comes from the fact that we do not remember. Many a time we had to call to remembrance the deeds that he carried out among Israel in saving them, in helping them, and they would forget. And then he had to make them remember. And time again, he says, "Remember." And he says, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy." And it comes into the spirit of grace in the heart, this precious word, "remember." So we get on our knees and we weep before God because we do not remember as we should his great goodness to us in days gone by. But anyway, the word is used here, "remember Lot's wife." And the Lord Jesus, in this part, is speaking to his disciples. He tells them of things that will happen in the world. And he's bringing certain things to their remembrance. He tells them about the days of Noah and how a small portion of mankind went into the ark. They were to turn away from the old world, not to remember that, not to love it, but to turn away from it, as Peter calls it, the ungodly world. And they were in the ark and they were saved and brought to a new world. The same thing took place when the Israelites, or the Jews in the days of Christ, were warned about Jerusalem being destroyed. They thought of their temple, of their priesthood. They thought it was an eternal city. But the Lord told them that the city would be destroyed, and the time came when the nation would be destroyed. But they were to turn from these things to the Lord himself. These old things had passed away, taken over by the sinfulness of mankind. And the same again when he comes to speak about Sodom and Gomorrah, the five cities of the plain. The same thing here. They were to turn away from these things. Lot was to leave it all behind. And we too are to leave things of that nature behind. We are meant to remember Lot's wife. remember Lot's wife. And we should like to bring up three matters, the Lord helping us. Remembering, first of all, the marriage which Lot's wife had. And remembering, secondly, the place of residence which she had. She dwelt in Sodom. And remembering, in the third place, the judgment that came upon her when they came out of Sodom. Remembering the marriage, the dwelling place, the judgment, these three things. Well, we have the marriage, first of all. Abraham was called out of the Chaldees. His father, Terah, and Abraham, and Lot came to Haran. They dwelt there. Chapter 11 of Genesis speaks of that. It doesn't say that Lot was married. We tend to have the opinion that he wasn't at that juncture. But then in chapter 12, it speaks of Abraham and Lot with their substance and children leaving Haran. So we tend to believe that by that time he was married. There are some who actually think that he wasn't married and took his wife from Sodom. But that doesn't really matter. That doesn't really matter. It's a good thing to find a wife from the Lord if we get that. And that's what we should seek when we marry, seeking a wife from the Lord and a husband from the Lord. And it's a good thing for young folk to pray about these matters often before the Lord, because marriage is so momentous. A great deal depends upon what takes place then. Future generations, if the Lord leaves the world, depend upon what takes place then. And it's good to have a good marriage. In this day and generation, almost half the marriages break up. So it becomes us to pray for our marriages among our people. And it becomes us to speak to our young about these things and to give them to be serious about these things. We all have souls. We are all on the way to eternity. We and our children and the coming generations who come from us. But anyway, we don't know who Lot's wife was. She's nameless. The only way in which she is named is by this appellation, Lot's wife. That's all. And she came to marry Lot, a man of God. And she was with him for years in this world. And then the marriage came to an end, as every marriage in this world must come to an end. So the important thing is to seek a marriage between ourselves, our own souls, and the Lord Jesus Christ. That is the real marriage. The real marriage. We are not denigrating the marriages we have in the world. They are given to us by God. That was given before man fell. It is a precious, precious thing to have a like-minded companion in this world. That is a very precious thing. We do not know much about the internal workings of the marriage of Lot, but he married this woman who is nameless. We don't know where she came from. We don't know anything about her, but only the fact that she was Lot's wife. And then we have the dwelling place. Remember Lot's wife regarding the dwelling place. They were in the land of Canaan. Lot had come with Abraham there. And the men looking after their cattle began to quarrel. They wanted pasture, they wanted wells. So they began to compete and they began to quarrel. So Abraham spoke to Lot and he said to him, "We be brethren. We are brothers." As if to say, it is not right for any quarrel to rise up between myself and yourself and my people, my servants, or your people and your servants. And he remembered that there were non-believers in the land. Oh, how careful Abraham was in these matters regarding conduct. And he said to Lot to take his choice. If he would go to one in one direction with his family and his animals, that he, Abraham, would go in the opposite direction. He gave him a choice. Now just think of that man Abraham. When the land was invaded by an army from a few nations who came together, it was Abraham who defeated that combination of peoples. He could have taken the whole land over for himself. He could have been king of the land. He had conquered with a small army. But he wouldn't take it like that. It had to be from the Lord as a gift. The Lord would give it to him. That was how he wanted it. But then you see how he dealt with Lot. Take your choice. And Lot looked at the well-watered plains where the five cities were. And Lot chose that. We don't know where his wife came in. We don't know. Did she encourage him to seek material prosperity above spiritual prosperity? But in any case, he went towards Sodom and he camped there. They lived in tents. They lived in tents since they left out of the Chaldees. And they lived in tents outside Sodom. But then we find them inside Sodom. How could it be that a godly man like Lot would finish up inside Sodom? And we wonder if she had something to do with it. You see, man and wife confer. They give their secrets to each other and their secret thoughts. So we just wonder if she had to do with that as well as Lot. Godliness would not take him into Sodom. Being covetous might take him into Sodom. But they went together into Sodom and they had a house in the city. A house. What a change that would be. But it wasn't just that. Lot seemed to be in the gate of the city. That is, he was an important man. The councils in these olden days would gather in the gates of the cities. Christ speaks of those that sat in the gate, how they were against himself, how they condemned him. Those that sat in the gate, the Sanhedrin would be in the gate. They would have a kind of space, maybe a kind of hallway at the gate where they would gather. Boaz, when he wanted to confirm that Ruth was his, went to the gate where the elders were gathered. That was the practice. That's where they gathered. That's where the important men were, where the rulers were, where the counselors were. And Lot was in the gate. He seemed to have an important position in this city, a man of God. Yes, even among ungodly people, they would value having somebody who would be honest, whose word could be trusted, who would not lie, who would be a righteous man in his outward conduct. Even the ungodly value that kind of thing. But anyway, she was with her husband in the city. But then you see, they had a family. They had two daughters unmarried, and they must have had at least two daughters married, because Lot was to speak to his sons-in-law, plural. Now just think of it, taking your family into a place like Sodom, your young children to mix with the Sodomites. Just think of it. And there again, we cannot understand why a godly man like Lot, and he was a godly man according to Scripture, would bring a young family into a place like that, and some of them married into that city. Oh, friends, when we have young children, let us give them our time. Let us seek to bring them up for the Lord. Let us speak to them about their souls when they are young. They'll soon be out of our hands, and there's nothing left then but prayer for them. But then we read about Lot himself. Peter speaks about Lot in the second epistle, and we read there in 2 Peter chapter 2, from verse 6 we can read, "And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto them that after should live ungodly, and delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them, in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds." Look at that again. "And delivered just Lot, vexed with the filthy conversation." Not just conversation as we think of it. It was an old English word. It embraces the whole walk in life. Vexed with the filthy walk in life of the people of Sodom. What then was he doing in Sodom? But he was vexed. And it says, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Every day, from day to day, hearing the filth of their tongues and seeing the filth of their lives, vexed. But he stayed in Sodom. He had a house there. He was in the gate. He stayed in Sodom. Yes. But then what about Sodom itself? Well, Sodom is spoken of by Ezekiel. Ezekiel speaks of Sodom, and he says in verse 48, chapter 16, verse 48, as I live, saith the Lord God, Sodom thy sister hath not done, she nor her daughters, as thou hast done, thou and thy daughters. Behold, this was the iniquity of thy sister Sodom. Now look at Sodom. God is telling about her iniquity. And he says, first of all, pride. Now there is a strange thing. A city given over to that great sin. And God says, first of all, about them, that they were proud. That they had the great sin of pride. You would think they would hide their faces, that they were keeping the shade in the dark. But no, this sin isn't like that. You see them parading in the streets, holding up their banners. You see even policemen, bands of policemen with them in their marches, with their own banners, supporting them. These people, pride, a hardening of the face against Almighty God, pride that comes out of the pit. So God begins in speaking about their sin by saying, pride. Then he says, fullness of bread and abundance of idleness. Fullness of bread. The land was so fertile, that they had no great labor to perform, to live. It was easy. Everything was easy for them. Everything grew so well. The animals could feed well. It was all so easy. Fullness of bread. And then he says, idleness was in her. Idleness. Now people want holidays, and that is natural. Workers need breaks. Workers need breaks. When I go back and think of my own boyhood, my own father working in the shipyard, they could barely get a fortnight in the year as a holiday, and that without pay. It was grudged, as it were. It is good to have a break from work. It is good to have the Sabbath day kept. It is good to be able to rest from your labors. But you see how human nature works. You give a month's holiday, then they go on strike. They want 6 weeks, or they want 2 months, and they want more, and they want more, and they want to use it all in what? In idleness, in wasting their time. It is good to rest. We need that. But human nature seeks idleness. Sin seeks idleness. But it's not idleness. It's not really idleness. When these people had their idleness, then they began to seek out various ways of sinning against God. If it was only to give them rest from their labors. But no, it was having so much time that they could spend it in sinful ways, and sin knows no boundaries. So sin went on and on and on. That's how they were. Idleness was in her and her daughters, neither did she strengthen the hand of the poor and needy. And notice that. Sodom had no interest in helping the poor and the needy. Yet they had plenty. And they had plenty of time, plenty of opportunity. But they had no mercy for the poor and needy. And you see what this sin breeds. No mercy for the poor and needy. Just myself. Self. Ah, friends. That's the city in which Lot's wife dwelt. That's the city where her heart seemed to dwell. But then we read that at even two angels came to that city. And they meant to stay at the gate of the city all night. And Lot went out to them to take them in. He knew the city. He knew what would happen. His soul was vexed. And they came, old and young, from every part of the city. It wasn't just the old, but the young. The young were corrupted too. It wasn't just one part, it was the whole of the city. How fearful sin is. And they desired to have carnal knowledge of these two angels who came in the likeness of human nature. They did not have human nature. It was the likeness of human nature. Yes, human nature, because it is human nature in which salvation rests. It is men who are to be saved. So the angels were made to assume the likeness of human nature, but these people would approach the angels to have carnal knowledge of them, because sin knows no boundaries. No boundaries. Now, prior to this, the Lord, whom we call the Lord Jesus, had been with them at Mamre, where Abraham was. And he sent these two angels to Sodom. If the Lord Jesus had come with them in the likeness of human nature, it would have been the same, seeking carnal knowledge of God Almighty in the likeness of human nature. Sin. It tells us, friends, of the fearfulness of sin. No bounds, no stopping. Going into darkness, into the blackness, further and further. There's no holding back. When the Lord gives men over to their own sin and to their own hearts, that was the dwelling place that she had. And the angels blinded the people who were outside. And did they then begin shouting for mercy? You would expect them then to turn to the angels and plead for mercy.
that they might have their sight restored. But no, they began seeking for the doorway of the house, even in their blindness. You can hardly believe it, but it is written, it is there in God's word, to tell you and to tell me how far abomination, how far sin can go in the heart of man. Man resembling a devil. But for the very fact that the Holy Spirit is laying restraints upon him. When he takes the restraints away, man is as he is. Your character as it is. When he takes the restraints away. So how will you be and how will I be when we have to meet Almighty God, when the soul leaves the body, when we go to meet God who made us? How will I meet him? How will I meet him? Oh, friends, we need Christ. We need to be saved. We need the blood. That then was Sodom. That was a picture of the people of Sodom. And then you have, remember Lot's wife and her judgment. The judgment. They were told to haste out of the city. The cry of it had gone up to God. The cry. What cry? There was nobody in the city who loved God but Lot, as far as we can see. But the sinful cry. And the judge was going to visit them. What about the cry of Britain? What about the cry of Scotland? There is no acknowledgement in our country today of the goodness of the Lord in the higher echelons, in the higher ranks of our nation. Our First Minister, does she care for the things of the Lord? Well, she's married to a Jesuit. No. She doesn't care. There's nothing said about the Covenanters. When she was made First Minister, when Scotland was given a parliament, where was the Reformation? Was given no place at all. No, friends. Sin. Sin. Well, the judgment came upon Sodom. It will come upon Scotland too, unless God will have mercy upon us. We have gone very far. When I was a young man, I used to think that Scotland was much better than England regarding godliness. I think Scotland today has departed more rapidly from God than England. More rapidly. Where can you go to worship God? Which churches can you go to? Which congregations can you go to? Which ministers can you listen to? They're getting fewer and fewer in our land to whom you can listen. And funerals, we try and avoid them. They're abominations. Abominations in most places. But anyway, God said through the angels, up, get you out of this place, or I will destroy it. And you know, Lot lingered. Lot, the godly man, lingered. He hesitated. He drew back. The angels had to take him by the hand and start to draw him. And it shows you, even when you have grace, the danger you are in. It is men who have had grace who have destroyed the cause of the Lord. Christians have destroyed the cause of the Lord. Christians who have backslid, Christians who have allowed things to come in. But the angels told him to seek his children, if he had children, daughters, sons, whatever. So Lot went to his sons-in-law to tell them. He had at least two sons-in-law, at least two daughters married. And he went to tell them that God was going to destroy this place. But they thought he was mocking, that he was joking, that he was only making fun. They thought he was only making fun. And here again we have a great puzzle. A godly man who goes to his sons-in-law and he speaks of the most serious things and they think he's only making fun. So we begin to wonder, how did he talk to them prior to this? Did he ever talk to them prior to this about serious matters, about eternity, about their souls, about the sins of the city? How fearful that they thought. Not that Lot thought they were mocking, no, but that the sons-in-law thought that Lot was mocking, making fun. It could make no impression upon them. And when that comes into our experience, when I can make no impression at all upon my sons-in-law, it's a bad day for me. When they won't take me seriously, it reflects upon myself. And he lingered, and the angels drew them. And they came to the edge of the city. Lot and his wife and his two daughters. And Lot's wife could say, I was married to a godly man. And Lot's wife could say, my hand was in the hand of an angel. How near I was to heaven. Married to a godly man, and my hand in the hand of an angel, and an angel addressing me with urgency. How near I was to heaven. And then Lot himself began pleading not to be sent to the mountains, but to give him a little city. Bera means or Zoar. Zoar, which just means little. Let me go to Zoar. That was granted, but he never even stayed in Zoar. But it says that she looked behind. Now, I used to think that that just meant that she looked back. But today I don't think it quite means that. I think the looking behind was an act of the heart more than of the eye. She was behind Lot. And it wouldn't be surprising if one should glance back. But looking behind means desiring what is behind, embracing what is behind. Yes, she had at least two daughters there married. She had that. But there was more to it than that. Her heart was there. She embraced what was behind. Yes, we don't know what influence she had in herself and Lot going into Sodom. But she looked behind. Her heart went behind. Her desire went behind. Her steps went behind, slowing down behind a Lot, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Now the salt sea is there, the Dead Sea, and when you have a storm or a strong wind, the salt itself can be carried and can change various things into something resembling a pillar. We have seen that, but this is not what is meant. There was a volcano, as it were, spewing out. You had saltpeter, you had brimstone, and these things covered her and made her into a heap of salt, a pillar of salt. Remember Lot's wife. Remember Lot's wife. He carried on, yes, to an incestuous end, as it were. From him and his daughters came the Moabites and the Ammonites. They were to be wiped out. The remnants of the Moabites and the Ammonites will be found among these Palestinians who are around Israel. And the history of Lot comes to an end. He's left there. Comes to an end. Godly man, but God left him there. And he continues with Abraham. And that's how it is. Remember Lot's wife. Yes, she saw godliness. She must have seen it, if the word of God speaks of him being a just man and vexed day and night and from day to day. She saw godliness. And there are people who have seen godliness in their homes and who have gone to a lost eternity. What a tragedy that is. There are people who have been among godliness in their congregations, among godly men and godly women. They have heard prayers in which the man praying brought, as it were, everyone close to God. But still, they perished. They went into a lost eternity. And her hand, as we said, was in the hand of an angel. And again she knew Abraham, the father of the faithful. She knew Abraham. She knew that he was called out of Ur of the Chaldees by Christ. She knew a lot. She must have known a lot. She wasn't ignorant. Oh, to go into the blackness of darkness forever. Out of a situation like that. And we, friends, have heard a lot. We have seen a lot. And this is a day for humility before God and a day for confession of sin. But it doesn't stop there. A day for repentance, in which you turn with grief and hatred of your sin unto Christ. Christ, if only this communion would finish, if that were the Lord's will, with one precious soul coming to know the Lord Jesus as his or her Saviour, among the young or among the old. If only God would give us that. If only. God would give us that. God works in a wonderful way. We can only plead. No minister can do it. No elder can do it. It's the Holy Spirit of God, and we must pray. And let us not have these services without prayer. Let us not go to services without prayer. Let us not have a prayerless communion season, but let it be salted with prayer. Let it be salted with our weeping, our crying to the Lord to have mercy upon us and upon our nation and upon our people here and there. And we pray too for those who are gathered in the other congregation which gathers as we do, to remember the death of the Lord, that we might have fellowship together in our gatherings. And we pray that the Lord would visit us and that we would remember Lot's wife, nameless. She is gone. She is gone. But you remember. You don't remember her name. You never knew it. But remember her life. Remember her marriage. Remember where she dwelt. And remember the judgment. May God bless his word. Let us pray. O gracious and glorious Lord, we thank thee that thou art able to bless thy word to our souls. Thou art able to open our hearts. The keys are upon thy shoulder. And thou art able to open the heart which was never opened before, as well as opening the hearts which have been opened continually by thee. Give us an open heart when we meet with thy word. Give us an open heart when we hear prayer among us. Give us an open heart when we sing thy praises. Give us an open heart, we pray thee, O Lord, during these days. And may thy great name be glorified and exalted. And may we remember, may we remember, take away our many sins, our sins of worship, for Jesus' sake, amen.